reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be my servants to await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be prepared, for in an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. When I was writing this for today's bulletin, I was thinking about the fact that this was actually my last weekend for St. Matthew's here. And so you can read this, but this isn't what you're going to hear. Because I decided last night, when I realized yesterday was my last retreat, and it was a very good retreat, then I came over here for Mass and realized that this really is the last weekend for me to be celebrating. I decided that maybe it'd be more important to talk about the things that I've tried to do or the messages I've tried to get across over the 14 years that I've been here. And I think I am the second longest here of any redemptorist other than Father Pat Pop, who I think was here 18 or 19 years. But the first and foremost lesson that I try to teach everybody is love, the great commandment. Love your God, love your neighbor, love yourself. You keep the great commandment, you keep all of them. You cannot love someone and lie to them. When we talk about little white lies, instead of telling the truth in a loving way would be better. You can't love someone and cheat them. You can't love anyone and do anything that's really harmful to them or to yourself. It's just that I try to teach the opposite of what I learned about the Great Commandment growing up, where I learned, love your God, love your neighbor, but don't love yourself because that's selfish. Well, you know what I said to that? A great big BS. Okay? That has to be turned around. You have to love yourself first, love your God, and love your neighbor. If you do not love yourself, you will not love the God who created you. Because if you find fault with yourself, if you're constantly critical of yourself, if you feel like you come up short, if you feel like you're not good enough, eventually you're going to blame the God who created you. And so you're never really, really going to love that God. And if you do not love yourself, you will not love your neighbor any better than how you love yourself. So if I'm really critical and judgmental of myself, I am going to be really critical and judgmental of other people. It all starts with me. We have to choose to love the person that God created us to be. We have to choose to look in the mirror and see the beautiful person that God created, instead of seeing all the judgments that we have made against ourselves over our lifetimes, or the judgments that other people have made against us. So that was first and foremost the message that I always tried to get across whenever I could in a homily, because I want to see people in this world love the fact they are alive, love themselves, and love their lives. It's so very, very important. The second message that I often tried to get across was, how about we agree to disagree? Because too often, especially in this day and age, there are people who, it's my way or the highway. And that's not Christian. Actually, that describes the difference between an argument and a discussion. Because an argument is about, I'm right and you're wrong, and there's no discussing it. There's no discussion in an argument. In a discussion,
I listen to what you have to say respectfully. I actually hear what you have to say. I may decide some of what you have to say is true, but I still may not even agree with you in general. Then you listen to me, and you listen respectfully, and you may agree with some things I say, but not agree with everything overall. And then we mutually agree to disagree, and we can still like each other. And we can still be friends. And we can still be on the same side. I was in a Panera not long ago where there were two older men sitting at a table. I'd like to be able to say that still. There were two older men sitting at the table next to me. And they were both sitting there talking about their daughters and going on about how liberal their daughters are. They don't know how in the world that happened. But one of them said, you know what? When I listen to my daughter and hear what she has to say, I have to admit it makes sense. I don't always agree, but I admit that it makes sense. And I thought, what a great dad, because obviously he taught his children to listen, to fully hear, to find out what truth was in what they had to say, and be able to agree with that truth even if he didn't agree overall. And that's what we need to be able to do. We need to be able to hear each other and find the common ground and unite. And certainly we need that across this entire country, because only with on a common ground can we all move forward. So agreeing to disagree is one of the other really big things that I try to get across in homilies while I have been here. The other thing is something that's kind of new that's come to me recently, because I realized that, you know what? I define prayer now as this. Prayer is my asking God to do his part. It's not asking God to rescue me. It's not asking God to make everything wonderful without my having to do anything. It's simply asking God to do God's part. Which means then I have to do my part as well. If I want this world to be a kinder place, I have to be a kinder person. If I want this world to be a more charitable place, I have to work at being a more charitable person. If I want this world to be a safer place, then I have to work toward it being a safer place. And then I pray to God for God to do what I can't do. That's what prayer is really about. Asking God to do what we can't do. But we just can't expect that God is going to magically drop things out of the sky for us, and that we don't have to change, and that we don't have to put any effort into what we are praying for. And we can't expect either that other people should be responsible for our happiness. That was one of the other things I tried to get across. Or in some way that other people should be responsible for our lives. No, we have to be responsible for our lives. In the retreat that I gave yesterday, I used the movie Steel Magnolias. And the saddest thing about that movie to me is that the character that is played by Julia Roberts has a severe form of diabetes that's really referred to as hypoglycemia. And that means her body produces too much insulin, where the typical diabetic, their body doesn't produce enough insulin. So when her body starts producing too much insulin, she needs to have something sugary to bring her insulin level down. And for whatever reason, she's grown to be an adult. The movie starts with her wedding day. And for whatever reason, she has never learned to take care of herself. She's a very intelligent woman, the character that Julia Roberts plays, and she's a very caring person, and she knows how to take care of everybody else. But for some reason, she never learns to take care of herself. On her wedding day, when she's having her hair fixed at the hairdresser, she goes into insulin shock, and when she feels it coming on, she doesn't have candy in her purse. She doesn't grab her purse and stick some candy in her mouth to stop her from going into insulin shock. Instead, she just sits there and goes into it, and then everyone else around her has to rescue her. in particular her mother. And the saddest thing is that toward the end of the movie, after a year or two, by that time she's had a toddler, and on the day of Halloween, she is at a hospital where she works, and she has bought a nice costume for her little toddler, and she starts feeling the insulin shock coming on, and instead of asking a coworker, "Would you please get me a glass of orange juice from the cafeteria?" Instead of having chocolate in her purse or something, she just lets the insulin shock sort of start and goes on home. And she manages to get past it, but then when she picks up the baby, it kicks back in again, and her first response is, "We've got to call Daddy." Instead of being, "I've got to pop some chocolate in my mouth," or "I've got to get some juice in me," and before she can call Daddy, she goes into insulin coma. And the saddest thing is that she dies in coma, leaving her husband, leaving her 1 or 2 year old toddler behind, because she never learned to take care of herself. She could take care of everybody else, and there's even a beautiful scene at the funeral where one of the ladies says, "You know what? She was just so busy wanting to take care of," she tells this to Julia Roberts' mother, "She was so busy wanting to take care of Jackson, her husband, Jack, her son, you, mom, her mom, and everybody else, that her poor little body just wore out." Well, each and every one of us is responsible for taking care of ourselves. You have to take care of yourself first before you can help anybody else. Each and every one of you who's ever been on a plane, you've heard what about the oxygen mask? If the oxygen mask comes down, what are you to do? Put yours on first and then help people around you. If you start helping people around you without yours on and you pass out, and the people around you are small or they're incapable of putting it on, then all of you are going to die. That's why you have to put it on first. You have to have the resources to be able to help other people. So God gave you one life, and you have to live that life to the fullest by taking care of your needs so that then you have the resources to help other people. So those are the three things that came to me that I have often preached here, and I hope that I will leave that with you, and that you will practice those things. Loving yourself first, so that you can truly love the God that created you, and that you can then equally love your neighbor as good as you love yourself. That we can agree to disagree and find middle ground, and that we can each learn to take good care of ourselves so that we have the resources to be good neighbors to other people and to our family members. And if we can practice those three things and realize that we have to do our part in life and we have to allow God to do God's part, then I think we can make it very successfully through life. Don't you?
Yes.
And I just want to say one other thing about there's a meme on here about faith, because that's what I was going to originally talk about. If there's any time that you have doubts about God being on your side, I mean, you know, we used to use the comparison, well, you can't see the wind, right? But you can feel it. Well, I mean, this one's even better. Faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need. Well, not only is it invisible, you cannot smell it, you cannot hear it, you cannot feel it, and you cannot taste it. But it's there, you know it is, when you look at your phone, right? And it's the same way with God. Except that, you know, we may not think that we are able to see God, or we are able to touch God, or we're able to hear God, smell God, or whatever. Well, that's not really true. We can hear God, and we can taste God every Sunday at Mass, and we can know God. So there really shouldn't be any doubts. And if there are, think about those. Because you can't see the Wi-Fi,
but it is there.
Amen?
Amen.